Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Today, I want to pick up on a little bit more of a technical part of inner healing. And so we've covered so far topics around the image of God, healing our image of God and who He is, healing our core identity, our true selves, how God sees us. We've covered that. And we've talked a lot about how, you know, we can be wounded by things that have happened to us in the past, even as children. I've shared some pretty emotionally charged stories around this. And we've talked about healing emotions like shame and a sense of being unworthy and unlovable, a sense of failure. You know, these emotions that we have that we might not know where they come from. And so today what I want to do is talk about inner healing, a specific kind of prayer that we do in the prayer room here called inner healing prayer, and which is specifically healing around trauma and emotional wounds, and get into what that's all about, because I've been referencing a lot, and it's, you know, if we don't know what it is, then we don't really know what I'm talking about. So I want to unpack that a little bit, share some stories, and then this afternoon during our healing service, we'll have a time to really be in prayer and encounter Yeshua and allow Him to come in to heal us of the things that He would want to heal us of. Now, I'll just start by saying that I think in our society today, we've been taught to hide emotional hurts, and they're a sign of weakness, you know. And we aren't given time to grieve in our society. We don't deal well with failure. You know, in our society, if you lose someone close, it's like a few months, you know, and that's it, then you're expected to be back on, and you don't really, no one really wants to hear about it anymore. So we hide our addictions, we hide grief, we hide our tears. And then what happens is, and I've talked about this, but those emotions and those feelings, they turn into shame, and we bring it all inside, and it has nowhere to go. And what happens is it can manifest in physical illness. So when we're in the prayer room praying for physical healing, often it goes into inner healing, because there's some other cause or some other route towards what's manifesting itself in a physical way or a psychological way. Studies have shown that some types of cancer appear about 3 years after someone's experienced a major trauma in their life. So it's not always the case, of course. And, you know, we don't want to say that every time someone has cancer, it's because there's trauma. But if a good percentage of the time trauma can lead to cancer, then we need to be praying for healing for the trauma. You see? And that's what this is all about. So Proverbs 18:14 says, "A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear?" So this kind of healing is, I think, even more important in some levels than physical healing, because we're totally disabled with a broken heart. Today we suffer from depression, you know, addictions, anxiety, fear, the inability to be intimate and vulnerable, inability to receive joy, to feel love. We suffer with parents who have been divorced and broken families, absent abusive fathers, rejection, abandonment, childhood loss. There's so much pain in the world, isn't there? So much pain. In our culture, there was a study. It's estimated that 1 out of 3 young women have been sexually abused. 1 out of 3. I'm not sure if that's true in every social group in the United States, but it's still pretty high. And so if that's happened to you, you can't just forget it. You know, and it leaves a permanent imprint. And these wounds can affect everything. And the shame and guilt, feelings of worthlessness, they get tucked away, like we said. So the question is, what do we do about it in the prayer room? What do we do about it? Here at Ruach Israel, we are big supporters of psychology. I just want to say that sort of like as a preface, and counseling, and also using medicine. Our prayer team uses the slogan, "Prayer and Prozac." So we like to bring these things together because we want healing, and we want to work with all the healing avenues that God has to us, except for the occult. We don't go there, but other ones are good. Psychology is a wonderful tool. And so I want to just say everything I'm saying here is not opposed to it, but almost in partnership with it. But it's more of a diagnostic tool than a healing tool. So it will help you, cognitive therapy and things like that, will help you to understand and process these hard emotions and to identify what things in your life may have affected you in the long term in different ways, and helps you to better process them and to better live with them. But there's also a great need for actual healing of these broken emotions. That's what we're talking about today. And the good news is that Yeshua can do this. This is his business. This is what he does. Now, I've seen people healed of crippling effects of trauma over the course of an hour in a prayer room that might have taken years and years in therapy to get through. And so, in addition to utilizing all of the tools that modern psychology has to offer, we also need prayer to be a significant part of our healing team, if you will, when we're working on these things. So, Yeshua heals our emotions. Yeshua was sent to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free, wasn't he? In Isaiah 61, it says, and this is, Yeshua applies this passage to himself, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is why he came. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. And so while, you know, the Peshat of this passage is really about literally redeeming all of Israel, I think in this, and when Yeshua describes it to himself, it's also a description of how he desires to heal us now. Because this is what he did when he was here. He touched the broken. He healed broken hearts and he transformed lives. See, when you think of him forgiving sins, you know, touching the woman who was an adulteress and she walks away transformed, there's an inner healing that's happening there. He wants to be involved in our wounded humanity. Sometimes we think our problems are too small for him. But see, that's why he came as a human, to experience our deepest hurts with us. And so he wants to be involved in your hurts. That's why he came. He wants to heal them so that we can be free to become more the men and women that God created us to be. So that we become renewed, like Isaiah says, with a crown of beauty, renewed with oil of joy and a spirit of praise. That's what he wants for us. And the Holy Spirit wants to go into our minds and hearts and transform us with that love. And this is what inner healing is. It's inviting Yeshua to transform our lives from the inside out. You see that? It's like an inside out transformation. So I'm going to read to you Judith and Francis McNutt's definition of inner healing that they have, which I think is very good. Then we'll kind of open it up a little bit. They write, "Inner healing is when Yeshua, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, takes the memories of our pasts and heals them from the effects of those emotional wounds that still remain and affect our daily lives." So he can fill us with his love, all those places in us that have so long been empty. He can drain us from the poison of the past hurts and resentments. And we can ask Yeshua to go back to the time when the hurt occurred and free us from the effects of that wound that still remained present. So what we're doing in inner healing prayer is inviting Yeshua and the love of the Holy Spirit to come into a specific traumatic memory and asking him to transform the emotional effects of that experience. So think of Romans 12:2. We're praying for the renewing of the mind, you see, but very specific, in very specific cases. So I want to talk a little bit about memories here to unpack what this is about. Memories are important to us, aren't they? They're like the secrets of our soul. People share or have memories that they've never told anyone. Many of you probably have memories and things that you've never shared with anyone, or maybe one person in your life. And these memories can strengthen us or they can weaken us. And so if we don't deal with these painful memories, then what happens is we can become captive to them, and then we become captive to the pain that's associated with them. So close your eyes for a minute and think of someone who really loved you. Think of someone who supported you, that no matter how bad it was, they looked at you and they said it was going to be okay. Doesn't it give you a sense of strength? You know, a sense of assurance? It builds you up. Now do the same thing with someone in your life who's torn you down. Someone who's abused you. Someone who didn't love you. Just someone who didn't like you. You see how it weakens us? Sometimes you even hunch over, you know? And we can become enslaved to these memories and live out of them. So when we pray for inner healing in a memory, we invite Yeshua to bring healing to that weakened memory, to reveal himself inside of it. Now, we're not asking Yeshua to alter or to erase the memory in the past. But what we're asking him to do is to come in and to take the crippling effect of that memory and to transform it, often into something that can become strengthening and life-giving. So into a source of strength, a source of faith, a source of comfort, rather than a source of pain and fear. So you've heard this story about the elephant. It's kind of a neat way to understand how memories are so important to us. There's an elephant trainer, and he has an elephant, this huge elephant, and the elephant is chained to a small little stick on the ground. And a man comes up and he says, "How is that huge elephant, you know, held by this little stick on the ground?" And he says, "He isn't. But what happened was when he was a baby elephant, he couldn't pull away from the stick. And he learned that he couldn't pull away from it, and he never realized that now he can. So they have no need to make the stick bigger." And we're the same way, aren't we? And so if God can transform the emotions and the feelings of a memory, like that small stick, it can radically transform our lives. And it helps us to realize that the stick really isn't that strong. And we can make another choice. We can live a different way. And so we pray, and so often he shows up, and it's just beautiful. It's wonderful. Now, studies have shown that if we stimulate the brain in certain areas, we find that different memories, even some that we've forgotten, might come back to us. So we have memories that are stored there. The brain records everything, even if you can't remember it. And they're stored in our conscience, and they're stored in our subconscious. But the brain also records perceptions and feelings that are associated with the experiences that you have. So when a person goes back into prayer, into a memory, usually the same emotions will come back up with it. Have you experienced that before? You remember something and you have emotions that are with it. But sometimes, if a person experiences a trauma, the factual memory will be there, but the emotions can be separated, even though they're both recorded. So I had this experience recently. And again, in these sermons, these messages, I like to just be vulnerable and whatnot. But I had this experience during the birth of our most recent son, Lev. And so I won't get into it too much. Raina shared about this when she gave her message a few months ago. But something happened during the birth. He was healthy before, and something happened during birth. And when he was born, he was totally unresponsive and not breathing. And it wasn't like just a delayed kind of thing. Like it was, And so instead of hearing a cry, you know, our midwife, who interestingly enough wasn't a believer, but she says, "Pray." She told us to pray, you know. And so we prayed, And as we were over him praying, his skin flushed out. And air came in and he started to cry. I mean, it was just an incredible experience. Life came into him. And by 5 minutes after his birth, he was a healthy boy. That's a long time in that world. Now, later when I processed this, I was able to remember every second of that experience, but I had no sense of emotion around it. It was in a strange way. You'd think I'd be anxious, or you'd think this. It was just like, this has happened, this happened. There's no emotion tied to it whatsoever. So, a few months later, I'd be holding Lev. and looking at me. And all of a sudden, I'd be flooded with anxiety. And it's starting to catch up with me, you know. And then after that, that anxiety turned into flashbacks of the experience. It started to link back together again. And all the emotions connected with it. And the emotions of that experience, which were recorded at the beginning, had been separated by it from that time because it was like a protective mechanism, you know. And then gradually they started to come back. And then if it was triggered, like seeing him or different things, then it would be like a mini panic attack, you know. And the thing was is that if I wasn't aware of some of these things, I might not have known where that anxiety was coming from in the beginning. So what we like to do is pray for healing in these areas. So we prayed inner healing around this trauma and invited Yeshua into the memory like we've been talking about. And in the memory, I had this experience of seeing the whole scene, and I saw Yeshua come behind me. And while I was looking at little Lev praying, he breathed life into him. And then, in a way that I can't describe it, he transformed the emotions around that experience from anxiety and fear and panic to those that accompany witnessing a great miracle. Awe and faith and trust and joy. And so now, rather, when I see little Lev, you know, rather than being the cause of a panic attack, it's the source of life and the source of faith. That's inner healing. So, back to memories. Sometimes the factual memory of the trauma and the emotions are separated. Other times we can suppress or repress painful memories. I won't get too much into it. It'll be a whole class. But suppressed memories are memories that someone forgets consciously. And repressed memories are those that someone forgets unconsciously. That's the difference. A person is totally unaware of what happened, but the memory is still stored. So either way, these forgotten memories have emotional feelings that are connected with them that can still influence us, even if we don't remember what actually happened. For example, we don't remember being in the womb or being born, do we? And these memories associated with being born are repressed. For most people that I know. But today, we've seen that there are emotional impressions that are made even while a baby is still in the womb. And during birth, in a very early childhood. And that's one of the reasons why we prayed through the conception to birth prayer 2 months ago. Or if a child is abused, he may have no recollection of the event, but he still might experience emotions around it without any context for what those emotions are. So we may feel certain emotions, we don't know the cause. And then these affect the choices we'll make, or who we'll marry, you know, how we'll raise our kids. These memories control our faith, how we live our lives. They can be the source of unwarranted fears and other emotions that we don't know where they come from. Now, it's important that in inner healing prayer, we're not doing counseling. So if you come in and we do inner healing prayer in the prayer room, we're not doing counseling, we're not doing therapy to bring up and process traumatic memories. But the Holy Spirit has the power to go into these memories and bring healing. And so we're just asking the Holy Spirit to come bring up for that person the memories that he'd want to heal and asking him to come into that time and bring healing, however he does. And it's always different, it seems to be. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight." So those secrets, he knows them. Those repressed memories, he knows them. The emotions connected with it, he knows them. And if we invite him in, it gives him a place to come and to bring healing and to transform our lives. So as we move forwards and we begin to think about these things, you could pray inner healing in your own life. You don't need anyone else with you. There are three basic ways that people can be wounded and then need inner healing. I'm going to go through these ways because it can help us to look into our lives and see, you know, is there anything that you'd want to heal me of? And if there's nothing that you'd want to heal you of, Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful. That's great. But the first arises from the brokenness of our world, things that happen, you know, trauma and experiences like illness, death, accidents, disasters, things that are out of our control. And you can pray for inner healing around these things. So if someone was in a car accident, for example, there might be residual anxiety and fear from the trauma of the accident. I've heard of people who they're afraid to get in the car and drive in the highway after an accident for years. So what do you do about this in the prayer room? So we might ask Yeshua to come into the healing, to bring healing into the time of the accident. And a person might, you know, experience Yeshua there in the car with them. He might say something to them. He might see an angel. I remember one person we prayed for who saw an angel protecting him from hitting the side of the car in the inner healing prayer time. And angels are all over the place doing these sorts of things. So if you get a vision like or an impression like that, it's a wonderful thing. In Judith McNutt's book called Angels, she documents stories of angels, you know, that she believes are legitimate. And she shared a story of a car that went off a cliff. This isn't quite inner healing, but and it went off the cliff, and in midair, according to the people, it went back on the road. And when they got out of the car, they looked, and the car had handprints all over the car. You know? I don't know. I'm just telling you the story. And they saw that one handprint was a child size handprint, a small hand. And they guessed that there was someone who was pregnant in the car, and maybe it was the guardian angel or something. I don't know. There's no theology around that. It's just interesting to think about. But I do believe there are angels all over the place, and they do help us. And inner healing prayer can be a time when you can see that there was an angel there that maybe you didn't see before. Someone who's experienced a tragedy or a loss of a loved one, they might experience Yeshua weeping with them or feel him hold the person and whisper that it was okay, that they weren't to blame. I've seen Yeshua seem to say to people that God wasn't to blame or give them some other insight into what happened. So the idea is that rather than a source of fear, unhealthy anxiety, the memory of that trauma, again, becomes a source of comfort and a source of peace, that God was there with them in those times of pain. Another common way that we can be injured and then inner healing prayer can come in is from the wounds inflicted by other people. Sometimes these are a little bit more complicated, but physical, sexual, verbal, emotional abuse. And people do awful things to each other, don't they? And, you know, when I'm sharing stories about people, what I try to do is get permission and then also take the story and change a little few details and whatnot so that it's totally anonymous. You know, even if you would not know the person anyway, I like to do that. So just to give you a sense, because stories are so important to hear how this actually works in people's lives. But we prayed with a woman who was sexually abused as a four-year-old, and her mom couldn't bear to face the painful reality of that. And so she put the blame on her daughter, who then internalized the shame and guilt. You know, someone comes in the prayer room like with this issue, like, what do you do? You know, what do you do? And so during inner healing prayer, we just prayed right back into that time. And Yeshua showed up, and I have no idea how this happens. We just pray, and stuff happens. It's amazing. Yeshua showed up and said to her as a little girl that he believed her and that it wasn't her fault. And so then a neat thing to do here in the situation is, it's like you can have the person look at a picture of themselves or another child, you know, And when he says, it wasn't your fault, like, can they really believe it, you know? They look at that picture and say, could a child have done this, you know? And we know that a child's never to blame. And that's what Yeshua always does, is he comes in and says, it's not your fault, when that's the case. Just in my experience, a child is never to blame. One person we prayed with who had been sexually assaulted seemed to experience Yeshua washing his whole body and purging away shame and fear. Another woman who had been raped after drinking too much at a party, during inner healing prayer, saw Yeshua appear in her memory of the event. And while she was weeping, he seemed to put a white robe on her. And she heard him say to her that he was making her pure again. And see, these awful traumatic memories, though still there, become transformed into places of Yeshua's love amidst the brokenness and the pain. And so these memories, which were once dark places in their soul, become a safe haven where a person can now experience Yeshua's comfort and love that seems to surpass all understanding. And we don't suggest this necessarily, but I've seen sometimes these terrible memories can get transformed to the point to where that person wants to go back there because it's the one place that they've now experienced his love in a new way. You know? And often in inner healing prayer, it's important to factor the trauma of unmet needs and physical emotions as well as we're praying through some of these things. So, you know, it's not just what happened to you, but what didn't happen to you sometimes, or what happened to you, the results that it had in your life. So I want to just, we'll close with this last part here. I want to just highlight some of these basic needs, because sometimes these hurts are the worst for people. Our deepest need, our deepest emotional need is love. Love is like oxygen. So I want to suggest that all parents love their kids. All parents, even the worst of parents, love their kids. I like to think so. But they might not be able to show it all in ways that our people can understand, our children can understand. Parental love has to be unconditional, reliable, and consistent for a child to be able to experience that. So adults who weren't loved in these ways as a child will end up having damaged love receptors. So they can't receive love because they didn't receive it when they were younger. And so they live out of these limitations and unmet needs. And love hurt you in the past, and therefore you won't let love in as an adult. So when praying for inner healing around this, we keep in mind Romans 5:5, that God's love is poured out into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeshua can walk into our past and pour into our hearts love when it wasn't there. Amazing. And so often this is the key to healing. You know, in prayer, in inner healing, if there isn't like one specific memory or a memory doesn't seem to go anywhere, we might just pray for God's love to break in. And sometimes a person will be feeling no emotion, like nothing. They go through a memory, it's like nothing. And then you start praying for his love, and all of a sudden they'll start weeping. And his love comes in, and then emotions, memories start all over the place. You know, it's like that's the beginning of this healing. The second need, and it's related to love, but belonging, acceptance, and approval. So children need to feel like they're wanted. And so if a child is abandoned, if parents go through a divorce, if they're just ignored, you know, they might not feel like they belong. And so what you can do is you can actually pray for inner healing through the time of the divorce. And I've seen so many times, like Yeshua just loves to heal this in kids, it seems to me. You might pray through a memory of the fighting, a time when the child first hears that one parent is leaving. See? Another thing, if a mother didn't really want her baby, you know, there's no judgment here, like, you know, or scared, you know, things like that, but a child might actually grow up with feelings of rejection. And you ever heard this? Sometimes well-meaning parents will make their children feel guilty for the pain they caused them in childbirth. They'll say things like, they're like, we really wanted a boy. You know, or you were an accident. Smiley face. And a parent doesn't mean it. You see, they just meant, you know, we didn't plan this. You know, we're surprised. But a small child internalizes these emotions, and they may live out of those feelings of rejection as adults, and then make up for those feelings of rejection by living as if they're always seeking mommy or daddy's approval in other situations in life. And so then it can influence who we marry, the kind of work we do, how many kids we'll have, everything. And you can pray through this in inner healing prayer. There's healing here. That's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes parents never said, I love you, or never told that little girl that you were treasured and beautiful. And so in inner healing prayer, we invite the Holy Spirit to come and help this person to feel their father's love and validation. And then inner healing prayer creates this space for a person to hear, sometimes for the first time, Yeshua say, I love you. We create a space for an encounter with the living God. Safety and stability. Many people in life never feel safe, especially if there was abuse, but also if there's a lot of fighting or yelling in your home. People who grew up with alcoholics, divorced parents, again, constantly moving you know, going through loss as children. They might have separation anxiety, lots of fear because their home wasn't stable. I shared a story last time, I won't do the whole thing, but about a woman who was abused, terribly abused in a physical way, and was just paralyzed in the prayer session when we went back. And, you know, and it wasn't until she felt safe, I said that we felt led by the Holy Spirit to just like embrace her, and she just wept for 3 hours in the prayer session. And this was something she'd never told anyone before. Safety is so important. And healthy, loving touch. There was a study that was done where babies weren't touched or held for a certain period of time, like as a study. They put them in a room and, you know, gave them food through like a thing in the door or whatever, and they died. You can Google it and you'll find the information for that. But see, we all need touch, and children need to be held. And so I've heard that the first form of communication we experience is through our mother's touch. And the ability to trust is actually developed at this time. So if that touch wasn't there, we may not remember it, but we may have trouble trusting as adults, so we don't know why. We may have trouble trusting God. We might just be a skeptic. We don't know why, you know. I'm not saying that everyone's a skeptic because of childhood wounds. I'm not saying that. But if the love is not there, we may feel like we can't trust anyone. And so in inner healing prayer, a person needs to begin to get to know their heavenly Abba. And then over time, begin to build up the capacity to receive that love again. Often in this time, people will experience Yeshua holding them. And so people who have lacks in these areas that I just went through will get stuck sometimes at the emotional level of the trauma. And so even a person who's highly functioning with the right triggers will revert back to that place that was never developed or nurtured when they were 3 years old. And they'll act emotionally out of that place as a child. And only the Holy Spirit, I believe, can give people this love that they didn't receive. And when the Holy Spirit brings healing, it's in such creative ways. And to close here, I just want to stress that these things are real. You know, sometimes they can be subjective, and I understand that. But after an inner healing service that I led once, similar to what we'll be doing today, a woman came up to me, and she had been crying. And she said that she had been skeptical about inner healing prayer, and she expected to just sit through the service. You know, she didn't really believe it. But during the time, she was taken back to a time when she had been abused, that she wasn't thinking about at all. And all of a sudden, she felt Yeshua come up behind her and hold her. And for her, this was real. One man whose parents were divorced, and this was the only time he had to spend with his dad took him to an amusement park but left him there and drove off. And in his mind's eye, Yeshua, I don't know how this works, took the little boy by the hand and walked him through the park, going on rides with him. So instead of being a source of pain and rejection from his dad, the memory is now associated with the love of his father. Another woman had the memory of hiding under the kitchen table while her parents would fight. And Yeshua came and sat with her under the table and played with her. See, it reveals Yeshua's heart for the children, doesn't it? And that he's still healing the broken hearts. Inner healing is not a quick fix. That's another thing I just want to say here. It's an ongoing process. It's like a rubber band ball. So there might be a specific memory that God wants to heal in order to get to something deeper, and then one memory might bring healing in all kinds of other areas, like a chain of different events. There might be different facets of a memory, like a diamond has different facets. So the same memory may come up in different ways, in different parts of that healing. But when Yeshua says, this is the big point, the big takeaway here. If Yeshua says that, when he says that he came to heal the brokenhearted, he really did. And he's still doing it today. And we don't need to live with so many of the burdens and baggage that we do today, if we just let him in.